Hello, I'm Isoellen, and this is Isoellen Writes Stories for Adults, and I am up late tonight. I'm going to share this out again. So glad to be able to do that. Hi, Tom. People are coming into the chat. Hi. I was going to try but I got that going, so. How are you, Tom? It is 2 a.m. here. I was trying to sync up with across the world. Couldn't quite get it. Time zones are difficult. But I'm very soothed by my music now. Let's see if this will help. My guest tonight is a falling flower. She might sneak in as soon as I'm not looking. It's 11 a.m. here and you're just starting work. Yes, it 11 a.m. I'm doing well. What time is it here? Is it 2 a.m.? Did you get a notice, Tom? For you must have, because you saw and you came in. I've had a couple guests, so I don't think I've gotten the proper notice, and I'm not sure why. If it's not one thing, it's another. You got an iPhone notifications. Podbean notifications are really unreliable. I often miss your show because I don't get notified. But when I do, I click immediately. Oh dear, Podbean, do you hear that? Unreliable notifications. That does not do. There we go. Ah, there we are. Hello. Welcome. I guess I can turn the music off. I usually wait until I get to introduce the guest. Oh, hey, Lady Snacksidan. We're just going to have beautiful poetry tonight. Oh, call in again. I saw you. Wait, she just called in. I saw you call in. I'm going to go ahead and send you an invitation.
Can you hear me?
There she is. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm very fine. I'm glad we figured this out.
I thought we won't be able to make it.
Oh, I'm so glad we did. The time zone difference, I'm so sorry. I'm not good with them, apparently. I checked four or five times.
You shouldn't be. It's very confusing.
Oh, it is. It's very confusing. You're across the, you're in tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
you are in my tomorrow. Is the weather good over there?
No, it's really hot here now.
Oh, I'm in the desert with my mother, but I imagine where you are, it is much warmer, much, much warmer. I am not a heat person.
Yeah, so neither am I, but I just have to deal with it, you know?
So your English is really good. How many languages do you speak?
I speak, I think, perfect English and Arabic for sure, and a little bit of French.
A little bit of French too. So this is Cami, and Cami is Falling Flower One from Twitter. She's one of these Twitter poets that I've been ooing and aahing over the last year. And just how did you find the poetry side of Twitter? How did you stumble into that? I can't imagine anybody says, I'm going to join Twitter and join a poetry community. I mean,
no, I don't think that we knew that this existed, you know, like I thought that Twitter is going to be like Instagram and Facebook just for fun. But then you suddenly find that, oh, there are poets and writers and there are great writings and real feedback and stuff like that. So when I found it, I was like, oh, that's it. I found what I want to be.
Were you writing before came across the Twitter poetry?
Yes, I was writing before, but not so much because there was no one encouraging me and I didn't find anyone around me who writes. So I was just like by myself. But then when I got to Twitter, I felt like, you know, I got inspired and I got to meet new friends and they were commenting on my work. So that's when I really got into it.
That is, having feedback for a writer is, I think that, I'm not sure people understand how valuable that is to be heard and to have people understand what you're saying and that it is really, really tremendously valuable. I mean, there's no wonder people pay for it because it is a necessary thing. I feel like you can't get better. You can't, you don't know if you're going in the right direction.
Yes, yes.
So to feel that silence that's, and then find, and I can imagine you just like, it's like, wow.
Yes, on Twitter, it's not just like, oh, your writing are nice. No, like people give you an actual feedback. Like I found this image very good. Like the rhyming was great. They actually think about it for a moment.
Yeah, they take some time. We take some time and you get some of the, you know, what do I mean to say?
They give us deep meanings.
Exactly. It has meaning. It's not just, oh, that's good.
Yes, sometimes find things in your words that you didn't find, and that's when I really, really love it.
Oh, yeah. So how long have you been writing poetry on Twitter?
On Twitter, I think that this is my second account, so I think like 3 or 4 years, something like that.
Really? I had no idea it had been around that long.
My first account was another name. I can't even remember what it was. And it was a really bad experience. But this one is good.
No. Really bad. Not one of those experiences. No.
Yeah, you get to meet some freaks around here as well.
Yeah, I mean, you have that really positive, encouraging side, and then you have that a little bit of that stalker you know, side that is out there that I've talked about on the show a lot. Actually, it's both very much.
It's either really good or really bad. Like
exactly. There is no middle. Exactly. That is so true. That is so true because the anonymity, you know, the not being known, not being seen, it makes you a little bit bolder, and that boldness can fall either way. And when it falls bad, it falls very, very bad. Yeah. It just seems to be, I very much understand. So you've been here 3 or 4. Wow. That's really amazing. How many people have, since you started, are still kind of the some of the same? I've only been doing poetry for like 1.5 years. So how many people have been here as long as you? Do you know? I mean, it's I don't find it actually really cliquey at all. I find it really welcoming and warm. Yeah. And I mean, there are different types of stuff going on, but how many people have you known? How many friendships have you made in all that time?
Like the people that I used to follow in my first account, I followed them again, of course, without the freaks. So there is a lot, like there is a lot of great souls around here and beautiful great hearts. And this time I got to chat with a lot of them and to be in some rooms. And this got me to know them even more and to discuss with them like about poetry and prose. So it's a great experience.
So, where do you, when you're talking about poetry and prose, what does your inspiration come from? What inspires you the most to write, makes you need to have, you know, a keyboard under your hand and tap out some words? What inspires you, motivates you?
I think that it's always the little details, like if I saw a butterfly passing in front of my eyes. No, actually, I'm going to tell you just a little story that happened to me before. I was very, very tired one day. I was so bored and I was standing in a line and it was very hot. And I was like, oh, this is enough. I've had enough. And suddenly a butterfly passes in front of my eyes. And that's when I felt like I was saved. And it really inspired me. And I got to write. And I felt like I'm refreshed. So it's always the little details. If you see a person crossing another person's hand or someone looking at someone, that's when it really gets me inspired.
So you're very visually inspired.
Yes, probably.
You're interpreting your natural world, kind of, and putting it down into words, into prose, into. So, where do you want to go with your poetry? I mean, I didn't see in your profile. I don't think that you have a book yet. I think you're probably going to get a book. I think,
yes, yeah. I really, really want to get one soon, but I've been really busy and I just got married, which made me even more busy.
So, yes.
I'm just looking for the right time to be able to get one of my books out there.
Ah, that would be wonderful. You know, the poetry books they're such a unique experience, I think, for me, I always talk about words as communication, and poetry is like the most refined, you know, form of communication. Yeah. And even though it can be really interesting and vague and different and, some people just coming up with new word combinations to make you look at things a different way, still, it's like the most pared down raw at the same time, you get to use the most beautiful words. You know, you're not limited to using simple words. You could use the most beautiful, extravagant words that you want, but it still gets you right to the raw emotion. And so you creating a book, you'd get to, what would you put in it? I mean, I've looked at your feed and I've read your stuff. You have all different kinds, but I imagine because of the way Twitter works and the word counts that there's stuff on there that you haven't really been able to share. Do you have like notebooks hidden away somewhere? Just journals of words.
I had a lot actually. But I think that the first book that I'm going to publish is going to be a novel, which is unexpected.
A novel, really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to hear about what your novel will be about then. I mean, what are you thinking? What would it? Yeah, I want to know. what kind of novel would you write?
I want to write one first that's about like life right now, realism and how it happens. It's like we're going to be walking with the characters in the novel and suddenly you're going to switch to another character and you would keep meeting them in the middle and keep meeting strangers and until suddenly someone dies at the end and it stops.
Stop. So just like realism, like contemporary daily life, would you be able to, are you planning on keeping your kind of lyrical prose, there's a marketable kind of language in a rom-com or whatever that and to be able to produce something that they call it literature, it's a little harder, but I think that's where my mind goes. Would you be able, is that your plan to keep your kind of stylistic tendency, or are you gonna make it more conversational?
I think I'm gonna still have to put some of my style, as you said, but I just want it to be like very real, as if someone walking with the camera, you know, walking with the camera around and taking everything around him, like Crow, without any decorations, without any flowering to the situation, just how it happens.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can see that too. There's... there's power in simplifying your words and saying exactly what you mean on, very much.
Find some tweets like a person using three words and you're like, oh, this is very powerful.
How did you get so much of that? I never saw, you know, sometimes I'll come across those things and I'll be very much, I'm not good at them. At all. Three words, six word stories.
How do they do it? It's very hard.
I am not good at them at all. I can't even, I was trying to think of one the other day to make it sound like it has a beginning and a middle and an end in six words. I can't do it.
I think it just comes naturally. When you try so hard, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's very true. So what is your, do you like to challenge yourself in your writing? I mean, do you set tasks for yourself? Okay. What I mean by that is, do you ever say, I'm going to take these word prompts and I want to do something new and different with them? Or do you just let it flow? Do you, I would think the novel would be a challenge. To be really realistic and stark and, get the atmosphere in do you do that? Do you like to improve or, do you have more of an organic kind of style or flow?
No, I think that, we all try to improve because if you stop, no one else is going to stop. Everyone is just going to keep going. So you're going to be way behind. So I try always to challenge myself. And there are some rooms on Twitter that put a specific prompt, like the word of today or the style of today. And this keeps your mind going. And sometimes it teaches you new things.
Yes. I mean, I've learned new words, definitely on Twitter. And like I said, you know, new ways to come at old ideas is always a fun kind of challenge. So you're going to do the novel and you're recently married. How recently married are you? Do you mind if I ask?
I think it's been 2 months or something.
2 months?
Yeah. Wow.
So did you meet before COVID or after? I mean, what is the pandemic like where you are? I mean, we've been in lockdown and everybody on Twitter is like, oh, I don't have, I've been personally, yeah. I don't have anybody to hug. I would love, it's better now, but I missed hugging so bad. I'm like, now I'm hugging strangers. So,
really desperate.
So just really desperate for touch and for, so how did you, have you known each other for a really long time? And then you just found your, how, you got to tell me a little bit of your romance. Just a little.
Yeah, we get
not
to,
too much.
To know each other a long time ago, but I never saw him in that way. Like I never expected that he would see me in that way. And then suddenly he confessed, then I was like, what? How, when, or, and it took me some time to take all this in and to understand what he's saying and to see him in a different way. So yeah, we got to meet a while ago, and just during COVID he was at his home and I was at my home, and we tried to connect as much as we could, but now that everything has calmed down a little bit, we were able to meet and to discuss some serious stuff, and now we're married.
Wow, that's amazing. A COVID love story. Something good did come out of being having to stay home. You had more time to talk.
One thing. And
something good did. Yeah, one thing is really nice. Do you, I know you're obviously you're on Twitter and you're typing out. Do you ever handwrite out your poetry?
Like, since I got into Twitter, it's been like, no, I haven't
not as much.
Probably just the longer poems are the ones that I type, but mm-hmm. The short ones are all on Twitter, I guess.
That's okay. There's just sometimes there's a it's one reason why I think a book would be neat of the poetry, the tactile experience of holding the paper and the, you know, interacting with it, the words physically, it's a thing for me.
It feels different. Yeah. It feels absolutely different.
Yeah. And so most of mine are they're all on Twitter. I don't tend to copy them down even on my computer anymore. And I was copying some out, about my grandmother and that I was remembering. And so I wanted those ones. And the experience of taking I had to go get a fancy pen. I put them in a fancy journal. And
it would put you in the mood. Yeah, it would feel great to do so.
I just need to be in a coffee shop. Where, speaking of, so you do you
a
write
typewriter.
On your, in a typewriter? Yeah. Do you like to write on the computer or on your phone? I mean, do you just jot something down when inspiration strikes? When do you write?
I think that I would write anywhere to get the idea that's in my head. I remember that I was once asleep, and you know, when you wake up just in the middle of your sleep, very sleepy, your eyes are already closed, and an idea came in my head, and I was like, no, not now. It was a whole poem, and I just took my phone, and my eyes were closed, and I wrote it, and in the morning I found that, you know, like the letters were all messed up, but I got the idea that I was trying to say. And so, yeah, you'd find something on my laptop, something on a paper. I have a box, actually, of papers in which I wrote some things. And I have a lot of writings on my phone.
Yeah, on your phone. Yeah, little snagged away. Your husband's probably finding writings all over the place. So did you always want to be a writer, or is that something that kind of has developed over time?
I think I've always wanted to be a writer. I just didn't know it when I was younger. But at some point, one of my friends saw one of my writings and they were like, this is cool and all. And that's when I realized that this is what I'm good at and this is what I enjoy and this is what I want to do. But just life keeps you busy. You keep on having passion to different things. And yeah, I want to do that. And then, and you just, it takes you away. But I've always really wanted to be a writer.
Passions for different things. Are you creative in different ways?
Yeah, I draw and I write and I'm really passionate towards languages, as you see. I'm working on my French right now, and I have tried teaching at some point. I find some passion there as well. So yeah, I'm not going to stop myself.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, that's what life is about. It's living those things out. It's learning all the time. Letting that knowledge change you and make you a better person. It's, that's really wonderful. And the languages, I have no ear for, and I have a terrible memory. And so the languages, I just couldn't, but French is so beautiful.
Very elegant.
And seeing it written out. I love French movies. I'm pretty good with the subtitles, and I forget that now by the end, I don't speak French. I feel like I understand it by the end of a really good movie, but that's wonderful. And the drawing too, do you sketch or pencil draw or color pencil draw? What kind of drawing do you do?
Yeah, I sketch. I have never tried something on my phone. Like, I see now that a lot of people draw on their phones, but I can never do that. I want to hold the pen in my hand and sketch it in front of me.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's another tactile experience. I'll show you. I'll send you some of my daughter's phone drawings. She cracks me up. She's been drawing forever, and she's young. You know, she's 16, well, 17, and she's been drawing forever. And what she can do with her finger on the phone when in between messages and stuff just makes my head explode. I don't understand it. That's neat. You're just a creative soul. And, you know, not everybody has to be. I always expect creative people to be a certain way, and they never are, you know? So you've tried teaching. What do you do for a living?
Like right now, I am working as a translator and as an online English teacher as well. So I'm trying here and there. Whatever I find my passion, I go with it.
No, that's being a translator, and that's wonderful. That's a really great job. That's wonderful. So have you always, are you native? I haven't said where you're from because I haven't, is that okay?
It's okay?
You're from Egypt. And are you a native Egyptian? Are you from there? Or are you an expat? Or did you grow up there?
Yes. I'm 100% Egyptian.
100% Egyptian.
There, and I've spent my entire life here. And yeah.
This is going to sound so dorky as an American. What's that like? You know.
I know, but when people like think of Egypt, pyramids. No, it's not just pyramids. There's a lot of other things here. And we don't transport using camels. We have cars and buses and everything. It's just like any country.
Do you drive? Do you personally drive? I've seen some of the streets though in Egypt, and not all of them look safe.
Like driving here is really a challenge. You have to be an expert. I can drive, but I'm scared of driving around here, so I would mostly like take an Uber or something.
Yeah, everybody seems to be. I mean, they're in a hurry here, but they're really in a hurry there. And that's just what I've seen on TV and in movies. And it's not just there. Actually, I was in South America, and it was going around a roundabout in South America was death-defying.
You were going to find it really hard around here.
Oh, I bet that's funny. My mother would love, she wants to come see that. Yeah, it's all about the pyramids. That's all that's there, you know.
Yeah, just think that that's what we have here. I have never been to the pyramids.
You've never been to the pyramids?
No. Which is weird, but I just didn't get the chance to go there.
Maybe someday you've got lots of living. It's been really tumultuous and really dangerous in parts of Egypt. Have you been in a safe part, or is that some of that political stuff in the last 10 years come near you?
No, like I think that everything now has calmed down. I'm in Cairo, so I'm in the center. So there is nothing real happening around here. Everything is just normal.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I'm not going to tell my mom. She's going to be on a plane in a minute.
Let's go now, yeah.
She would be. Of course, she wants to go to the pyramids, though. And
If you came, I can be your guide. I haven't been there, but I'm going to be your guide.
That would be wonderful. Oh, that would be fantastic. So you've grown up there your whole life, and it's been fairly safe. So you're just like everybody else. And, you know, I'm such a dumb American. Well, not dumb, but arrogant. We just get, you know, we're like the center of the world. And I know that's not true. But
like, I think that's how the news just like makes you feel. Like they show you specific things and you can't imagine behind it.
It's very much, you know, I can't, it's hard. Yeah. All I have is a news translation or a movie translation, you know, since I've never been there.
Do you know any Arabic words?
Oh, not any. No? Could you? I'll ask you when you're going to read. Would you be able to read one of your poems in Arabic? First?
In Arabic? You will understand nothing.
No, but we'll hear it. And sometimes this experience of hearing things in a different language is really cool.
I have almost like never wrote poetry in Arabic. I think that I have put myself way too much in English that now I find Arabic hard, like hard for me. Yeah, and I don't know enough word, and my spelling is like very bad. So I can talk to you in Arabic and you can try to guess the meaning of what I'm saying.
Oh no. You can be saying anything, but please do say something. I'll ask a question. Something simple. What's your favorite flower? Or your favorite color? Say that again. Oh, I gotta be quiet. Okay.
Why do I feel embarrassed about this? This is my language.
It's wonderful. What's your favorite book?
كتابي المفضل لكاتبة اسمها لاشين.
That sounds amazing.
Actually, my name is the name of a flower. It's like camellia is the name of a Japanese flower.
Yes. Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, I have heard Arabic. I have a friend who is a devout Muslim, and but she's an Americanized Muslim. So she's devout, but she will explain things to me and often use the Arabic words, and to which some of them sound, they rhyme so well. I giggle a little bit sometimes because in my ear, you know, tries to translate everything. It's just like,
no, I can't imagine how it is English to you. Like if I am listening to Korean or Japanese or something, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like sounds to me.
It is, or German or any other language, you know, there's some languages that are just, I can't even, I've heard a lot of Spanish. Yeah, I've heard a lot of Spanish, and some of it, I know enough Spanish words that some of it can always start to feel familiar, and I've forgotten enough Spanish words, but but other languages, very much just out of no clue. So have you, you've been in Egypt, so you haven't gotten to do any traveling yet. Are you planning, do you want to travel? And you're just such a free spirit. I can't imagine you not wanting to travel someday.
Yeah, I do want to travel. That's true. And I was thinking, I was discussing this with my husband. Like, we want to go to different places. You know, we're going to save some money and decide where to go first. Maybe Turkey, maybe Paris or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That would be... Paris is beautiful. And
Paris is beautiful.
Yeah, and you speak French. Come on. You'd kind of...
Not really. Well, but maybe at that time I'll be able to...
Maybe by then you will be speaking French. And that is... it would be so great. It's good practice. Lady Snacksident says, the brain is designed to try to decipher foreign languages according to the words you know. Yes, I do. I try to put them into the words I know. It makes no sense whatsoever. It makes us sound silly when we do it too. Very ridiculous. So you want to travel, you've got this creative soul, and you've been writing, you've been on Twitter for almost, what did you say, 2 years? That's amazing. I've asked you what inspires you. I want to make sure I ask all the questions, because it is, and how you came upon Twitter. You just kind of fell upon found the poetry and kind of dove in. And you've made a lot of friends.
Didn't know that I would find this on Twitter. Like, I just thought that it's an app when you can write and over, but I never expected that it's going to be like this.
No, I don't think anybody does. It's like the world's best kept secret. And all these men writing beautiful romantic poetry, I thought that had gone out of style, and there were no men anywhere who would ever do that. And, you know, I've met some really incredible guys who write all kinds of stuff.
That's true,
romantic stuff, descriptive stuff, and sad stuff, and just all the emotional stuff just pours out. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought you guys didn't do that anymore. That's amazing.
It's just because, like what you said, because the fact that the people can't see you or know who you are, it makes you bold, and it makes you get out whatever that's inside of you. So I think that we're all a bit more honest than we are even in our lives.
Yeah. Have you ever written anything in poetry form that you thought maybe you shouldn't have, but then you left it up and everybody was related to it in a different way that encouraged you? I don't know. Have you ever been just said something that was really close to your heart, and just you're kind of pouring out your heart and then put it up there, and then people respond in such a warm way? It kind of helps you get through that emotional thing, you know?
I think that I actually wrote before something like that. I'm tired of it, or I can't take it anymore, or something like that. And I was like mesmerized by the amount of people who responded, and they were all like, no, you gotta keep going. And I was like, oh, I don't even know like half of you, and this is how it is. So yeah, it's really great around here if you put yourself between the right people.
Yes, yeah, it can be really a beautiful, beautiful thing. Do you want to go ahead and read some with us or for me? I would love to have you read. I'm going to share this out one more time. We have people wandering in. Hello, people. We're talking about poetry. I am so glad you decided to come on. That's so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm enjoying my time right now.
Oh, I'm having a great time too.
Okay, should we start reading?
Yes, anytime.
Well, I'm going to read like a longer piece first. I hope that it won't be too long. And like, I want you to interpret it to me after I'm done, if that's okay with you. Okay. I want to see how you see it.
Okay.
Okay, so its title is What Have We Done? A place where all the breaths are stolen, lives in a paper house bought and taken, hearts built of flowers but are still broken. What have we done? A little girl with no wings to invade the sky, only allowed to look, threatened not to fly. They say it's beautiful, but she never knows why. What have we done? Art burnt up with artificial flames, plastic surgeries, hiding beauty with the stains, curves, faces, killer with legal chains. What have we done? Green drowning in black, nature told to shut up and receive the smack, destroying earth because I'm told it's the right track. What have we done? Femininity's walls are being violated, masculinity, a word, needs to be calculated, relations destroyed, begging to be recreated. What have we done? Silence is our conversation. The internet is our relation. Away from each other is our station. What have we done? Ours are chasing us. In a blink, we miss the minute's bus. Living unaware that time is in a rapid plus. What have we done? Rooms with too much to say. A child being beaten up all day. At night his tears whisper, time to play. What have we done? Orphans playing with a bomb. They know what's happening. They are not dumb. Fire is not to warm them, but to burn their tomb. What have we done? The ones who care for us are on the shelf. We are hunting who hates us as a hungry wolf. And I can only ask myself, what have we done? And that's it.
That is really powerful. That is a complete commentary on current affairs. There was a lot in there. There was looking at the kind of the materialism and the commercialism of beauty and taking away just in people and in women and in men, but also in nature around you, the you know, black pavements over the natural. And there was a lot in there, a lot of commentary. That was really well done. I mean, each stanza had an issue that you addressed. So yes. I'd have to see it and I'd tell you this one. And because it's very much a current, I could see, you know, if that was like, if you name that poem like 2020 or 2021, you know, it's, you even got the, how we treat our elders. Do we value them the way we used to? Some places I don't think, and some people I don't think we do. Just this sense of, are we valuing the things that we should value? And what is the cost? What's the price of that? That's what I got out of that.
That is so true. And I was also trying to show that somehow we all were a part of all what's happening, even if we don't intend to, but we like participating in one of the bad things in this world, even with a comment or a bad look to someone or talking about someone. Somehow we were participating in something that's bigger than we know.
That is very good. That's true. That's very true. You put negativity out there. You never know where somebody is. So maybe somebody's in a really bad place and you say one negative thing to them and that could be the thing that makes them, you know, not want to live anymore. People can be so tender and so desperate, needing a kind word, and get so many negative words that can be the thing. Yeah, it can be something like that, or it could be just the walking by when you could help and doing nothing.
Yes, just not caring or not trying.
Yeah.
The simplest things could have great difference. We just need to pay more attention.
Yes. Lady Saxon says, and all the small choices that we make, and they accumulate. They do. They very much do. They add up. I try not to make them, but beautiful, sophisticated, perfect use of rhyme and rhythm. Yes. Wonderful use of repetition. It very much sounded very spoken wordy, which I love. You know, I could see. Would you ever perform your poetry live? I mean, if somebody said, hey, we're going to do a coffee shop and you could come down and share some of your poetry. Would you do that? Or would it be like, no?
Definitely do that. Because I would want to read my poetry, but because I'd want to hear people reading the poetry.
Yeah.
When you listen to how they read it, sometimes it gives you a different meaning than just like reading it on a book or a website. The way they perform it is always a part of the meaning.
Very much so. Which is why I'm so glad you came on to read some. Do you have more? Could you read another one?
Yeah, I have small pieces because I didn't want to take it too long. So I think that this one is a bit romantic.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You snuck between the loud beats. I didn't hear you enter, but you couldn't hide for long because I felt you in every way possible. That's a short one.
You snuck between the loud beats?
Between the loud beats. I didn't hear you enter. But you couldn't hide for long because I felt you in every way possible.
Oh, that's, I like that one.
Seems that is like romance. It's romance.
It is a little romance. It is a little romance. But it's subtle, and I like that too. It, you know, you're not, it's very subtle. It,
Yeah, sometimes it's better when it's simple. As you said, yeah. The simplest words could have the greatest meanings.
Yeah, I'm terrible at that. Do you have any favorite poets on Twitter or in books that you like to read, or that whose feed you keep going to back and forth, or either somebody in print already or on Twitter? And I don't mean to make anybody feel left out, but you know, sometimes there might be somebody new to discover. So
yeah, there is a lot of people that are on here that I'm like really into their writings.
Yeah.
There's an account, Darkly Whispers, that account, like, I think it's the first account that I ever followed, and I've been in love with his words since I followed him, and there's a lot of people here, like, Drifting, and, Wandering Ponderer, who else? There's a lot of people.
I know, you can't, flowers. Don't feel bad for leaving somebody out. I mean,
like everyone I follow, I make sure that whoever I'm going to follow, I'm following you because I really want to support your poetry, not just because I want to add a follower for your account. I want to support your poetry. I want to make you know that what you're writing is really great. So whoever I'm following is a great writer, like seriously.
That's good. And you know, there's something to be said about not following too many people because you get to see what they're writing. When you do follow, and I do, but I miss it. I don't as much on my poetry account, but you don't get to see the what you have to go to their feed to see it. And
yes.
So you miss when they post, or you miss a moment, and yeah, sometimes some of the words are so good that, and I can't have 500 notices going on every day. Drive me crazy. Do you, so you write on your phone or your computer, or do you, and you write everywhere. So do you ever go any place? Like, do you go to a coffee shop just to sit and write ever? Or are you kind of more relaxed and you don't have to, you know, I don't know.
Sometimes you need that. You, especially when you get that block that you just can't get out of, the mind block, when you can't write anything, it just irritates me. So I have to go somewhere that could really inspire me, either like a coffee shop or a library or a garden, somewhere where I haven't been before. To get the ideas going, you know, especially when during COVID in the lockdown, there was nothing new. Like you didn't almost see the street, and it was the same thing. The routine kept on going, so it really blocked my mind. I was unable to write.
Yeah, I. So how did you break through that? All that kind of stress and stuff. How did you?
I'd say reading new books. When you start reading others' words, it like make the machine start once again in your head. When you see how they write, or the ideas, or they could give you some feelings through the writings, and that's when you get a new idea to write.
I agree. That actually helped. It's one of the things that helps me is reading other writers. Very much so. Sometimes I'll forget how to structure a sentence, and so I have to stop. You get caught in overthinking it, and so I sit down and read just a couple passages, or I'll pick up a poetry book because I'll get stuck in writing the same thing over and over, and
with the same words and the same themes and everything.
Yeah.
I can't get out of it.
Exactly. I mean, I have my favorite words. I really, I probably have a couple lists of them, and I try not to use them too much because, but they're still my favorite. You'd think they'd stop me. Do you have favorite words? I mean, are there like stars? I could write them out. I could put stars in anything.
Yes, you find these words when you like open your account once in a while and you like, I'm using that word a lot. Like, seriously, I need to stop.
Yeah, exactly. Lady Saxonet has a question. She says, do you find that do you spend days on a poem or do you write multiple poems per day? Or does it differ? Is it all over the place?
Like a poem? No, I don't think that it would take me a day. Because I like to take the idea when it's still hot, because if you let it go later, I will probably not remember how it made me feel. So whenever I get an idea, even if I'm really busy, even if I'm working, like, no, I have to write it now. And I try to write it till the end. Maybe I would edit it later, but I would try to finish it at the moment. But of course, a novel, it's not going to be that easy.
I'm done. Sometimes you know, especially the longer ones, if you have an idea and you know how it ends, if you don't write it right then, even though it may not come out perfect, you can always, edit it later. But then I can never capture the mood again. I can't get that flavor.
It's so true.
Yeah, I'm not. I know other people who'll be like, they'll just sit and ruminate it all day long. You know, they'll just sit and soak on a few words. I'm like, how do you? We have different personality. Not me.
I think everyone have their way of doing it. Like,
That, you know, and it's one of the things that surprises me is that. Everybody comes to Twitter poetry a little bit different, and everybody has a little bit different thing that inspires them. And some of it's kind of the same, but really, you know, I know people that'll be like, I can't write. I don't have the words. And I can always write. I can't always write well, but I can always write. You know, I can always get something out. I sometimes it's really terrible, but or it makes no sense. But you know, I can always get something.
Like when you can't feel the words that you wrote, like sometimes I write a tweet, but I can't really feel it, and it gets a lot of likes, but I'm not feeling it. And sometimes I write one that I really feel, and it gets way lesser likes, but I'm like, I'm happy with it. I can feel this.
What is that? I don't, you know. It's a thing. It's a complete thing. It's and it's not just us. It's almost everybody I know.
Yeah, I think that's happening to a lot of people.
It's everybody I know. They're like, the one I'm really proud of. This one. This is exactly what I wanted to say in a unique and different. Why aren't you looking at this one? That one over there took 3 minutes. And I wasn't going to post it because I thought, you know, it's already been said 500 times. This one here.
This is true gold. You should like this one.
Like this one. So I retweet it sometimes. It doesn't do any good. But
yeah, it's like, I'm giving you another chance. You should like this one.
Yeah. Sometimes, Lady Saxonet. Sometimes it's more relatable. Sometimes, that's very true. Sometimes it is in the mass appeal, and it can just be. That's why some of the poets that are kind of have made a business out of their poetry. Their poetry is so relatable, and they put it on, you know, jewelry and boxes and T-shirts and
yeah, I've seen those.
And they print it up, and it's just simple, you know, it's not really anything deeply profound, but if it hits you at the right moment, I imagine it can be life-changing sometimes, you know, sometimes the right words at the right moment. Do you have poems, you've been writing for kind of a while, do you have poems that mark your life like words that kind of mark, they may not actually be about the season of life, but you can go to that and say, yes, I remember that time I was going through that. And it may not be in the words, but it still kind of has become a bit of a signpost.
Yes, there is a lot, of course, but I don't think that it's only poems. Like there were a lot of novels that really touched me. I love reading for Jane Austen. And her novel, Pride and Prejudice, was the first thing that really made me admire this kind of writing. Like, wow, these people and the language they use and the words. It's like every little piece of her writings is valuable and elegant. And I just really want to make you afraid to write something that's going to be too complicated for people. Because there is an audience for the simple words, but you really want to make it more valuable, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You can. I mean, you'd be, it just depends on the audience. There's an audience out there for every writer, I think, you know, who can connect with that heartbeat. That's neat. Yeah. I love Jane Austen, too. I listen to them all on audiobook. I've read them all. And sometimes getting those words in my head, there are certain phrases that I remember that off the top, I can't remember other things, but that I can. Jane Austen. And then Jane Eyre is one of my favorite too of the older books.
Yes, that too.
Jane Eyre is one of my favorites. There are some novels that I've read that, it's not just, you know, sometimes the word, there was a novel called The Secret Life of Bees, by Sue Kidd Monk, I think that's who it was, there are moments in that novel that I just wanted to stop and scribble down the words because they were so beautiful.
Yeah, there are words that really, really touches you, and it paints a picture in front of you or a scene as if you can see everything happening, and it just amazes me.
Okay, do you have any more? I would love for you to read more.
Okay, I have another one. It's not that long also, and I want you to try to tell me what is it talking about, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so his quill is dripping, yet his ink is unseen. All he wrote is forever, alive, dead, and in between. He existed in a moment that inhabited an unmade scene. You will always rule, like a king with no crown, like a king with no queen. Long live you, fool, dissolving in a coffee cup with no caffeine. That's it.
Oh, I don't, that's got a lot of really great evocative images. Oh my goodness. And you want me to interpret that? Yeah. Could you read it again, please?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So here it goes. His quill is dripping, yet his ink is unseen. All he wrote is forever, alive, dead, and in between. He existed in a moment that inhabited an unmade scene. You will always rule, like a king with no crown, like a king with no queen. Long live you, fool, dissolving in a coffee cup with no caffeine.
I don't, is it a political commentary? I mean, is it about a specific person who had, was very showy on the outside, but really had no power, no ability, acted, you know, like,
it's like not political, but yes, a person who like had power, but at the same time he didn't have. I was actually talking about myself.
Oh, were you? You were?
Yeah, because...
Oh girl, you got like caffeine.
I got caffeine. That's some period.
Oh, wow. See, yeah, it very much feels like that, but a very strong commentary on yourself. My goodness, no.
It's like at some point, as you said, your writings, they don't get the attention that they deserve. And you were like, am I even doing the right thing? Am I doing it right? Is writing my thing? So I just felt like that at some point. It's like, you're a king, but you don't have a crown and you don't have a queen and no one is looking at you, but you can write, you know? So I think that's what I was trying to say.
I very much get that. Very much got that. I'm here and I'm doing it, but it's not going anywhere. It's not having any effect. You've got some comments. We all love the dissolving in a coffee nut cup with no caffeine. That I love how it ended. That is a really powerful ending. I am not good at endings. That is a really strong ending.
Sometimes the ending is what really stops you. Like, how should I do it?
Yeah, sometimes I'll just tie it off. I feel like sometimes I'm tying off a balloon. and it's not what I want, and it's, you know, but I want to end
it. Tying a balloon with no fingers as well.
Exactly. And I'm just tying that knot off and walking away. I just, okay, here. We'll see. How do you know if you can post a poem? Can you give it a go? Or do you practice a lot first? Do you just, what's your writing process? Do you edit a lot? Or are you just going? Are you going quickly or slowly? What is the process of creating a poem like that one?
I think it depends on the mood. Like sometimes if you're too busy and you can't really pay attention to what you're writing, so I'm just going to write it as fast as I can. I keep it in a draft or something till I get back to it. But mostly I like to take it when I still know how it feels. So I'll just write it as fast as I can. Even if it's a long poem, I'll try to write it all right away. But you can never know if I should post it or not. That's why you post it, and sometimes it doesn't get the attention it deserves, and sometimes it does, and you don't understand, like, why are you liking this one and not liking this one? But I guess you just have to post it out there and see what will happen.
Yeah. Poetry is get suckage. I'm pretty sure that's Death of Flowers. And he says, I'd so do that. Sometimes the words just speak louder than others to you. I have the same thing. The not knowing how people are going to respond. Poetry is, I told somebody once that it speaks to the heart, and it's so subjective, and it's art. It's like the painting that you paint, and somebody's going to be ready to spend $1 million, and some people are going to be like, I wouldn't spend $5 for that. You know, it just, and you never know who's going to be willing to take that risk and spend $1 million on your art, but it really is. It is art. And you're making some beautiful art. I'm so glad you came on and shared it with us. I really appreciate that. this is a lot of fun. It's very neat. I know you're a celebrity now. No, I mean my five people who listen to this show. No.
Oh. I should be so proud.
No, you should. I'm so honored to have you on. So so glad that you took a risk and you came on a show and talked about your poetry and your heart and your the words and just the task of putting it down on paper and getting it out there, and then the magic of Twitter.
Yeah,
which is so strange. He says it's got to connect with you. Cami has a rare deft touch. You do. Very much so. And Lady Snaccident says, I just love it. Thank you for sharing. Thank you guys so much for coming on and commenting and engaging. That's very fun. We're going to do, I'm doing this tomorrow at, I have a lot of podcasts going on. You'll be asleep probably, but tomorrow I'm live streaming an author, a writer at noon my time, I think. And then 5:30 my time, I have somebody else you know. I want to make sure to say his name right. We all have weird names. Sworn Gill is going to come on and he's going to read the... I don't know how he says his handle. I'm going to have to ask him. The Demara? That probably means something.
I won't even try.
He's going to come on, and then I have late at night, I think, if I didn't get my times wrong, I'm going to interview somebody from India, too, who does poetry, and she does spoken word, too. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm hoping to have more poets on all summer long. So if you write poetry and you listen to this and you're inspired and feeling brave, you should come on, too. I will. Thank you so much for taking time out to come on.
Thank you. Has been great.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I had a great time. I'm gonna go ahead and let you go, and if you ever want to come on again, if you do that novel and you want to, you know, come and read a passage, or you put out that book, please connect with me. I would love to have you read and
I would
be able
love
to share
to
it out
again.
Yeah, that would be so fun. Your words really are beautiful, so have a great day.
You too. Thank you. And I want to say thank you to the people commenting. I didn't see it before.
Yeah, there. If you look on your phone, you can see them there. You can even scroll up and see some of the comments. They came in and they hang out. It's fun. They could even call in, actually, and I could have two or three, but we're not doing that today. Maybe someday. I don't know. I want to figure out how to do a poetry slam podcast. I don't know.
That would be amazing. Well, I would be always listening to you, so I find if you do that.
It would be. I'm going to that's Sworn said he actually had been to a live one recently. And I said, well, we're talking about that because I would be really, I would love to talk about that. I'm not really great at them, but I do enjoy them quite a bit. And I would love to do that. Oh, hi, Carolyn Hill, by the way. You guys, thank you so much, guys, for being here. I'm going to go ahead and turn my music on and sign us out. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
This music just fits the poetry, don't you think? There's really beautiful words, really interesting commentary on herself and on the one she read What Have We Done. That one was really good. Each stanza had some power and packed a punch. And the images, your images are so strong. I know we're both speaking English, but the ability of the words to convey such feelings and become such a universal thing that connects the language, connects hearts, connects minds, communication, always communication and empathy and feeling, surpasses cultures, is just, that's magic too. Thank you guys so much for joining me.